Three tomatoes are walking down the street. Papa tomato, mama tomato, and baby tomato. Baby tomato starts lagging behind, and Papa tomato gets really angry. Goes back and squishes him. Says, ketchup. Ketchup.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cinephile Podcast. Today, I have someone here who I'm very, very excited to have. Up-and-coming stand-up comedian, Haley Kavanocki.
I'm not that funny.
Me and Haley are going to be talking about Pulp Fiction today. And Haley, it's kind of like a joke or a stereotype that people who pretend to love movies always say that Pulp Fiction is their favorite movie. Like, everyone who's like a fake cinephile always says that Pulp Fiction is their favorite. So why is Pulp Fiction truly your favorite movie? Because I really believe it is. But why? What about it sticks out specifically to you?
The first time I watched it, like, with my dad. It was just, like, a movie that was always, like, really hyped up in my family. Because when I was, like, a kid, like, at dinner parties, my dad would always tell people that sometimes I'd smile and I'd look like Rosanna Arquette right before Vincent stabs Mia Wallace. Like, she has this crazy look in her eyes, and my parents say I smile like her. And I've always wanted to see this movie because it's always referenced.
Ever since you were a kid, you wanted to watch somebody get stabbed in the chest?
No,
with,
I didn't even know she got stabbed, but I was just always told about this movie. And freshman year, my parents finally let me watch it. And I just love how I like movies that make you have to think, or TV shows, or you have to pay attention, like Pulp Fiction, BoJack Horseman, like things you have to pay attention to, and how it all comes together so beautifully at the end. And I think it's a movie that takes a lot of patience.
What makes you say patience?
Because you have to, it's a 3-hour movie. I mean,
2.5.
Okay, we still didn't finish it when we were supposed to rewatch it, so, you know, it's like a long movie, and you have to, you can't be on your phone or else you'll miss something. And that's my, you know, it's my pet peeve.
How many times have you seen it? Because you were following along with the script, and you didn't even have one in hand. You were quoting the movie as you were watching it.
I haven't seen it in a while, actually, but I'd say between 5 and 10 times.
Between 5? Only?
Because
I remember
more towards the 10.
I remember a point where you were posting every day that you were rewatching.
Oh, yeah. But usually, since the movie is so long, I usually would never finish. Only occasionally would I actually finish.
Right.
So I'm really good at quoting, like, the first section. But after that...
Yeah, you didn't know Christopher Walken's monologue. I was very disappointed.
That'll be my next...
That's your next goal?
My next challenge.
Right. What would you say that your favorite scene is, since it's your favorite movie?
I was going to ask you that question, too.
Well, I can say mine next.
Oh, I have to think about it.
Right.
I like... Can I just say, like, the first hour with, you know, Mia Wallace?
I mean...
Or is that too
broad? You could say that's your favorite chapter. Definitely.
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite chapter of it. I like
Because you like to dance like Uma Thurman.
Yeah, I like the car conversation at the beginning, the, like, Royale with cheese.
Right.
I like the ending when... I like after Vincent, like, shoots Marvin in the face and they're just freaking out about it.
Right.
I just think that's really funny.
Yeah. It's strangely comedic.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, one of my questions was, do you consider Pulp Fiction a comedy?
I consider it that's a good question, actually. I think it definitely has comedic moments. I try not to classify a lot of Quentin Tarantino's movies, because he's just such like a masterful writer.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his dialogue is it seems so natural. And yet, at the same time, these are, like, conversations you would never hear anyone have, at least not the way that they're written. And you said you were going to ask me what my favorite scene is, so I guess I'll just go to it.
Yeah.
Mine is definitely when Sam... Say what again, Brett.
Yeah.
And it's just... That whole scene is That's written in such scene. A way where, on one hand, it's so dramatic and full of tension, but on the other hand, it's also hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely something timeless, and, you know, it's referenced all the time, and it's because it was written so well, and Quentin Tarantino has always just been a master of dialogue.
No, I mean, another reason why this is my favorite movie is probably because it has everything. It's like all genres combined. Mm-hmm. So it's there's something for everyone. You know, there's comedy, there's action, drama, kind of.
Right.
Romance?
I guess. Maybe a little.
There's a date, you know? Right.
Well, I don't know how far I would go.
Yeah.
Why do you think, or what do you think about the relationship between Mia Wallace and John Travolta's character?
Vincent,
thank you. Because you were saying that you wish that they had gotten together instead of Mia and Marcellus. Well, why? What about what happened that night makes you want them to fall in love?
I mean, fun fact, I think, is that Mia and Marcellus don't talk to each other the whole entire movie.
How do you mean?
There's like no exchange of,
right,
between them.
Okay.
So I feel like the relationship's kind of cold. And I feel like Mia Wallace like actually had a fun night with Vincent.
Right.
And I mean, I think that like they shouldn't have an affair or anything.
Right.
But like,
because he would get thrown out a window.
Yeah, get thrown out a window. Or probably worse if what happened was just a foot massage.
Right.
But we don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened. Well, nothing happened.
What do you think?
According to her, nothing happened. So I'm going to guess that he probably screwed over, what's his name? Tony. Tony Rocky Horror. That's what they called him. Mm-hmm. I think he probably screwed over Marcellus in some way that was deserving of him getting thrown out a window.
Getting a speech impediment.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Well, what does the title mean to you? Because the first thing you see when the film starts is the definition of pulp, which reads a soft, moist, shapeless mass of matter.
Yeah,
or,
that's the one that they're talking
about. Yeah. But the second definition is a magazine or book containing lurid subject matter and being characteristically printed on rough, unfinished paper. So what does that mean to you, and how do you think it relates to the rest of the film?
I mean, like the lurid? Is that how you say it? Lurid? You said
L-U-R-I-D.
Lurid? I know. I can read the... I know. I can read.
Thank you.
Surprisingly. But, yeah. It's just, like, dark, gritty, and kind of not expected.
Right.
I mean, on my shirt that I'm wearing that is a Pulp Fiction
shirt. You are wearing
shirt,
a Pulp Fiction shirt.
This, if you look in a mirror, actually says Pulp Fiction. Yeah. So Mia Wallace is reading some Pulp Fiction.
For anyone following at home, just look at a poster.
Yeah, you can watch the poster. I mean,
watch
the poster.
Poster.
Look at the poster.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think of yourself as more of a Jules or a Vincent? A lot of my questions are like this.
I don't think I'm either. Actually, I don't know. I think I have the respectability of a Vincent.
Okay.
I definitely don't have the badassery of a Jules. I wish I did.
But Jules is also, like, super chill.
Jules is... He's very one with himself.
Yeah.
Spiritual. He's a very spiritual person. I don't think I'm that spiritual. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, people talk about zodiacs a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
The killer or the sign?
Both. I don't know how much I believe in either. Okay. But, you know, people will say, like, oh, my day's been a mess because Mercury is in retrograde.
Oh, my God.
And that's, like, that's a Tolone thing. And it's, like, I don't know how much I believe that. But at the same time, like, you know, I'll have, like, a weird day. And then, like, I'll go home and I'll be, you know, going through Snapchat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'll see, like, you know, Zodiac greetings or whatever. And it's,
yeah,
like, you'll have, like, a weird day of confusion. It's, like, I did have a weird day of confusion. You're totally right. And it's, like, it's just generic enough to
be... Yeah, that was about to say. It's so broad.
It's so broad, but also, like, it's just, like, tuned in enough that I think it could work.
I only like my horoscopes when they say good things. So when, like,
right,
they say good things about me, I'm, like, okay, I'll have a great day today, you know? And then when they say, today might be a weird day for you, I'm, like... Horoscopes aren't real.
Yeah,
only,
exactly. Yeah, so you have, like, selective hearing of horoscopes.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, do you think, side note, past lives, what do you think about that and, like, reincarnation?
That is a good question, and that actually ties into another question I had about the movie.
Oh, my God.
What do you think is in the briefcase?
Oh, I was going to ask you the same question.
Right. Do you think it's Marcellus Wallace's soul? You know that theory, yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
So, for anyone listening.
Yeah.
For the two people listening.
No, the two people I know are, three, including me, probably later. And then the other two are going to be Abby and Justin.
You better. If you don't, we're going to have an issue.
Yeah.
But the theory goes that, you know, when they open the briefcase in Brett's apartment, it's just a big, bright, golden glow. Mm-hmm. And then also, Marcellus Wallace has, like, a Band-Aid on the back of his neck. Mm-hmm. And something in the Bible that I've never read about how, like, the soul, you know, the devil takes your soul out of the back of your neck. Something like that. And so a lot of people think that it's Marcellus Wallace. What's in the briefcase is Marcellus Wallace's soul. What do you think it is?
I don't think it's his soul because I know that the Band-Aid is from, he was shaving his head earlier that day and he cut himself and he had the Band-Aid off.
The actor?
Yeah, Ving Rhames. Is that, that's
who I think, yeah, Ving Rhames. Arby's, so, we have the meats.
Exactly.
Do you know that's Ving Rhames?
I mean, now I do. Oh, yeah. So he cut the back of his head while shaving, mm-hmm. and he was going to take the Band-Aid off, and Tarantino was like, keep it. It looks cool.
It looks cool.
So...
That's a very Tarantino thing.
Yeah, I don't think the... it's his soul. It's probably gold or money or something valuable like that.
Well, you know what Tarantino says it is, right?
What does he say it is?
It's a light bulb.
Just
a light bulb.
Well, that's because it, yeah.
Well, it was just, a, you know, the actual prop was, but he says it's just a light bulb. He says it's nothing.
So they're just giving value to seemingly...
Well, I think maybe it's in the, it's up to interpretation, I think. And that's just Tarantino's interpretation because, you know, he's a very literal guy. That's what it was. One thing that I was thinking about, and this doesn't really tie into anything except the movie, but one thing I was thinking about, you mentioned that your favorite part is between Travolta and Uma Thurman. Mm-hmm. What, you know, Samuel Jackson being the powerhouse that he is, do you think the movie could have been improved or worsened, or would you have liked to seen, or like to see, any variation of that question, a version where Samuel Jackson, where Jules goes on the date, just to watch over Mia Wallace instead of Vincent?
That'd be a very weird movie.
You think
I
so?
I feel like, yeah.
You don't think he, Jules' character would be able to add anything to that situation?
I think it would have played out a lot differently. Also, Jules has a girlfriend.
That's true. Well, yeah, but it wasn't, you need to remember it wasn't a date. It was a business venture.
It'd be a lot more formal then.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like with Vincent, mm-hmm. kind of a date, just
right.
saying.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit of a date.
Right?
Yeah. Wait, so what do you think's in the gold case? That was my question.
I think it could be Ving Rhames' soul. I think that type of thing is up to interpretation, and I think it's meant to be, so I don't think there's a definitive answer. But it's one of those things where there's enough pieces that it could line up. And, you know, even if the Band-Aid was just something that Ving Rhames accidentally cut his neck or whatever and Tarantino said leave it on, you know, it's still in the movie. It's still there, which means that it's definitely still a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm glad you think so.
I have a question.
No way.
Yeah. As an avid heroin user yourself,
thank you.
What are your thoughts on the heroin sequence, and how do you think it compares to the actual experience?
I'd like to preface this by saying I've never done heroin. I think it's shot very well.
Okay. Shot up very well?
Sure. Up-and-coming comedian Haley Cavanaugh, ladies and gentlemen. I think it was shot very well. I obviously think it was acted well. Written very well. Don't have much to say.
Accurate.
Please stop implying that I've done heroin. Did you know that the shot where she gets stabbed in the chest was actually done in reverse?
Yeah, we've already talked about this.
Okay, well, we didn't talk about this while the microphones were on.
Okay, yeah. I did know.
Yeah, I think it... I've only watched this movie like once or twice, and I know I can see the expression of shock on your face, but I never really paid attention enough because I was never really, you know, the avid movie buff.
Because you were on your
phone,
probably.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
But I was never really the avid movie buff that I consider myself now when I had initially watched it, but I never really picked up that the guy that they go to is Vincent's dealer. I never picked up on that, you know, my first time watching it. Because I watched it, the first time I watched it, I was pretty young.
On your phone.
Not on my phone. I was pretty young. Most annoying thing. Because we had it on DVD, and, you know, I always hear about it as, like, this great movie. And I was like, hey, Dad, can I watch Pulp Fiction? And he was like, no, you're way too young. And I was like, okay. And then I did it behind his back. And then he found out and he was like, you watched it? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, it's weird, right? And I'm like, it's weird. And he's like, The Gimp. And I was like, I'm done with this conversation.
God, we have to talk about that. Huh? I forgot to mention him.
Him?
Yeah, The Gimp. We'll talk about him later, I guess. Okay. Who is your favorite and least favorite character?
Favorite is Jules, definitely Jules, because I love Samuel L. Jackson. I love the way that he does everything. He's an incredible actor, and obviously there's an incredible performance, and obviously it's a, you know, a watershed moment in his career. Mm-hmm. Least favorite, I would say, is Bruce Willis's character, whose name escapes me right now.
Butch,
thank you. It came to me like osmosis. Yeah, I think he doesn't really add much, and he has kind of a nice arc with the watch, and mm-hmm. Obviously we get that great monologue from Christopher Walken, but I feel like his story doesn't add much. As much as it connects to everything, it doesn't really connect to anything regarding Mia or Jules or Vincent and kind of Marcellus, but you know, I feel as though his character and his arc was sort of unnecessary, if that makes any sense.
I mean, I guess, but it's just the way that the stories combine, and apparently, yeah. I don't know if you were paying attention.
But are you going to tell me that the last line, chronologically, if you were to put the movie in order...
Oh, is Zed's dead.
Yeah, Zed's dead, baby.
That's not what I was going to mention, but...
What were you going to mention?
When Vince is talking to Lance, the drug right. dealer... he talks about someone keying his car. That right. was Butch.
Do we see that?
Nope.
How do we know it was Butch?
I think Tarantino said it. I'm pretty sure.
Which is the equivalent of, and maybe not one-to-one, but that's the equivalent of J.K. Rowling saying that her characters are gay after the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about all that drama?
I mean, I really don't
care.
All of it.
I
saw a couple tweets about it.
To my knowledge, the way that it started was that somebody made a point on Twitter about the fact that, oh, Hermione has curly hair and something else about her. But Hermione has curly dark hair and brown eyes. Maybe she's black. And J.K. Rowling responded, or Rowling, or however you pronounce it, responded and basically saying, like, well, I never said Hermione wasn't black. And then oh my God. that was responded with somebody tweeting at J.K. Rowling, like a screen cap from one of the books that said, the moon shined on Hermione's white skin.
Yeah.
But people took a lot of issue with, you know, her kind of, not changing the characters, but changing the characters to make her herself look better and more relevant.
Yeah.
And it, you know, after...
You just have to understand the time period it was written in.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, you know, that topped with the fact that, you know, oh, well, suddenly Dumbledore is gay, and it's like, oh, that's cool, and no one's taking any...
The thing is, 10 years ago in a Harry Potter musical, that was, like, a fact.
Well, no, but the issue that a lot of people take with that is that, like, that's cool, that's fine, whatever, like, no one's gonna argue with you on that, and maybe that's the case, but you never showed that anywhere in the books, you never showed that anywhere in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You made such a big deal about it when Crimes of Grindelwald came out that everyone thought that, you know, we were gonna see something there, and it didn't have to be, you know, explicit. It could have, you know, could have just been like a mention in passing, but, you know, because nothing was ever shown, it sort of just seems like J.K. Rowling or Rowling
was making things
you know
up.
was not making things, well, yeah, she's the author, but making things up to make herself seem better, and it's like things she never intended, but she's acting like she intended them all along. And then there was a similar instance when Solo, A Star Wars Story came out, and they said, oh, Lando Calrissian's pansexual, and it's Lando Calrissian as a character that's been around since the 80s, and again, no one's taking issue with that. But you can't just say these things and, like, not
have backing.
Not have backing, not show anything to do it. Like, if you want anyone to take that kind of claim seriously. And it's like, again, like, if that's the case, nobody cares. No one has an issue with it. But if you're just going to say it to make yourself sound good, then, you know, you're changing facts about a character to make yourself seem better. Even if, you know, that's not the case.
Yeah.
But back to Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. That was our original.
Yeah. Well, we can go off. Yeah. So all of Tarantino's movies are very, very loosely connected, right? Mm-hmm.
Are you going to talk about the cigarettes?
I wasn't going to talk about the cigarettes. You know, he's said that Kill Bill is a movie that the characters in his universe would go and they would go and watch. So it's a movie within his movie universe.
Okay.
Do you think that Mia Wallace is the actress who plays Beatrix Kiddo, which that would be the bride?
Yeah.
Or do you think they're just lookalikes? How Jules looks like Major Marquise Warren from Hateful Eight?
I never saw Hateful Eight.
Oh my god.
I'm a fake Tarantino
fan. I love Hateful Eight, and everyone gives me so much crap for it because it's no one's favorite Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
I would say it's my second favorite Tarantino movie.
What's your first?
Kill Bill Volume 1.
Oh yeah.
Which you gave me shit for.
I did. I remember that.
Uh-huh. And why? Why don't you like Kill Bill Volume 1?
I liked it. I just like Pulp Fiction better. I think Kill Bill is more entertaining. Because Pulp Fiction... Okay, here's the thing. Pulp Fiction, yes, it has so much action in it. But the thing that I think most people don't like about it, the people that I've talked to that don't mm-hmm. like Pulp Fiction for some reason...
Disgusting.
I know, right? They say that it's really slow. And I think it's just because it's like kind of humanizing hitmen and violence.
I don't think it's slow. I think it, you know... It's a lot of dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and of course there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like, you know, it gives us glimpses and hints of, you know, more action and more excitement, and while that's kind of paid off at the end, you know, it's a very, very long trudge to get there. Again, my gripes with Bruce Willis's entire role in that movie. Nothing against Bruce Willis, and you know, I like him in other movies, but I feel like his entire portion could have been cut out and you wouldn't have lost anything.
Really? All scenes with Bruce Willis?
Not all scenes.
Vincent would have died. There's some good,
well, that's if Vincent didn't die, we could have gotten the Vega Brothers movie.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Oh, so Vincent Vega is the brother of one of the characters from Reservoir Dogs. Last name Vega, first name escapes me.
Okay, doesn't matter.
But, yeah, Tarantino had a plan to make a prequel about them, and then they got old before he could.
Yeah.
Do you think Tarantino should direct a Star Trek movie, like he's been pining to for a while?
I mean, why not? I've also never seen
Star Trek.
You heard
it here first, folks. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. That section's always my least favorite, probably because Fabienne's like my least favorite character.
Who?
Bruce Willis's girlfriend.
Right.
Least favorite character.
Why?
She's just like dumb.
It's a good
stupid,
reason.
Stupid French girl.
Fair enough.
She just all her sentences could be said by a 2-year-old. Like Fabienne could be replaced by a 2-year-old, and it would remain the same. Okay, I don't like Fabienne. I'm sorry.
Duly noted.
She just says... She plays no, like, important role.
I get that. What is your second favorite Tarantino movie?
Kill Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, considering they're, like, the only two I've seen...
That's fair.
I've seen the first two volumes of Kill Bill.
Right.
Is there a third?
There are plans to make a third. Tarantino... Or Miramax, I guess, released, like, parts 1 and 2 as one movie, and I think there's maybe, like, something in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, a 4-hour cut. And
oh, my God.
It's good. It's a good watch. I have never been the biggest fan of part 2. And I think it's because the first one is, you know, this kind of unstoppable force just going and just demolishing everything in her path. And then part 2 she immediately gets knocked down.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's constantly getting knocked down. And then at the very end, it's, you know, she's going to go kill, finally...
Bill.
Kill Bill. Yeah. And it's like, oh, she had a daughter the whole time. And I kind of have this rule in my head, which is if you have a super badass character, the second you give them a kid, they're no longer really a badass. And it's not to say that people who have kids aren't badasses, but it to me it feels like this lazy writing technique where it's like, you know, what does Batman fight for, right? Batman fights for justice because, you know, his parents were killed, and so he wants to, you know, fight for what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you give Batman a kid, and yes, Batman has had kids in the comics, but, you know, you give Batman a kid, and it's like, Batman is fighting to protect a child, and it's such an easy, lazy writing thing.
Like hack.
Yeah, the writing hack where it's just like, okay, this character doesn't really have a motivation. Let's give them a child, and now they have a motivation.
Yeah.
But I think Kill Bill Volume 1 is a lot better, and I think it in some way, it could stand alone. Obviously, it's not the grand conclusion, but I feel like as a singular film, it really is something excellent.
What are your thoughts about how every time... Vincent goes to the bathroom, something bad happens?
I was reading about that today, literally today, while I was prepping for this, I was reading about that. And I saw one article that said something about how, like, whenever he's in the bathroom, he's always constipated, and it's because a side effect of heroin is constipation, as you would know, being the avid heroin user you are.
Exactly.
And I was thinking about that as we were watching it. And I realized that that's not always the case. He's not always constipated.
Because he's sometimes taking a piss.
He's sometimes taking a piss when he goes to the bathroom at Mia Wallace's house. TMI.
And he doesn't even go to the bathroom. He's just talking to himself in the mirror.
Do you think it means anything that every time he goes to the bathroom, something terrible happens?
I mean, probably, but I really don't
You're
know.
You're too lazy to dissect it.
What the significance is.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on... The Gimp.
On the Gimp?
Yes.
A lovely character. Thought he added a lot to the film.
Yeah. Really fun times. Yeah. Great time.
Cool.
What's your favorite movie, Shane?
What's my favorite movie?
Oh, you already... Is it Kill Bill?
No, that's my favorite Tarantino movie.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite actual movie?
The Truman Show.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
What? So you like The Truman Show?
I did.
What about it do you like?
It made me freak out. But not really.
Do you, ever since watching it, question your reality?
Yes, but I did that before. So I really don't know how impactful it was. I think... Did we watch it the same night as Bandersnatch?
No, we watched Bandersnatch for maybe 3 hours.
No, it was like five.
It was probably five. Yeah, we watched
All of the endings.
We watched every single
ending. Oh my god, we can talk about that movie too.
That's barely a movie.
An experience? It's 5 hours. I consider that a movie.
Okay. Lawrence of Arabia?
What?
Lawrence of Arabia is a 5-hour movie. Maybe six. Oh, no. Lawrence of Arabia is 6 hours.
I cannot do that. How can you do that? You have such bad ADD.
I've never watched it. I watched 2001 A Space Odyssey in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an intermission in that movie.
Because it's so long.
Oh my god. It's long, but when I saw that, it never lost my attention for a goddamn second.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I've never seen it.
It's really something incredible. I understand why a lot of people nowadays consider it boring and slow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where watching it on a computer screen or even watching it on television will not do it the kind of justice that seeing it in a theater with the overture and with the intermission, what that will do for you, especially someone who loves movies. I saw it with Reed, who was on the podcast last week.
Yeah, I know. I listened.
Yeah, I know you did. but it was really, really, really something fantastic and incredible. And it really blew my mind. Oh my god. And we were gonna, me and him, we were gonna go see The Shining, in theaters at the same theater. We see it at the Cinemark in Hollywood.
Okay.
And they do, every now and then, they do, like, special events where they show, I mean, obviously they show Kubrick movies, but I think they, you know, they do special other things because the Cinemark is just a giant theater.
Yeah.
But we were going to go see The Shining, and unfortunately he got caught up in some stuff, and I got caught up in some stuff. But that is another movie that I really, really want to go see in theaters. That, and I would... He's said to me before that he wants to see every single Stanley Kubrick movie in theaters, and as ambitious and as incredible as that does sound, I doubt he'll be able to find a theater showing Barry Lyndon, which is like a 16th century Amadeus style Kubrick film, and it's a great movie. It's just I doubt he'll be able to, you know, find a giant Cinemark sized theater that's showing it.
How do you feel about how, like, I don't know how to word this properly, but like how do you feel about how movie experience is changing, like, you know, movie theaters to Netflix and your phone,
things like that? I kind of hate it, and I'm really part of the problem.
Yeah.
And as much as I try to see every movie I can in theaters, and you know, movies are made to be seen in theaters, and that's the intention. When, you know, when a film director is directing a movie, he knows that this is going to be seen in theaters. And so,
I mean, now people.
Well, now people put stuff directly to stream.
Yeah.
And you know, again, when I'm sure people know at the time that they're making it that, hey, this is going to go straight to streaming. But I think movies are just so epic and grand, and they're on a much larger scale than television could ever be. I think that movies deserve to be seen in theaters. The shame of that is that they're $15 each, and I don't have a job. Yeah. I get paid 1 cent for everyone that listens to my anchor.com ad, anchor.fm/start. I didn't get paid for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a very hard thing to go see movies in theaters. And that's kind of unfortunate. And, you know, somebody tried to fix that with MoviePass, and MoviePass immediately failed because it was a terrible business structure. You know what that is, yeah?
No.
That was, somebody basically came up with the idea of, like, a monthly subscription service for movie theaters, mm-hmm. where you pay, I think it was $15 a month, and then you can go and see as many movies as you want. Which, when it first started, everyone was like, that's absolutely incredible, and I'll pay $15, and I'll see 2 movies a month, and it pays for itself, right?
Yeah, but then
But then the company behind MoviePass realized, oh, we're not making any money, and shut down, I think, in less than a year. And now AMC is experimenting with the type of thing where, you know, if you pay a monthly fee to be part of, like, their Gold Premium Pass.
It's like a real-life Netflix subscription.
in a sense, yes, but MoviePass wasn't making any money, and they thought they were because they had to pay for all the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And so it very quickly shut down. I think AMC has been experimenting with a type of, you know, Gold Pass, go see a free movie a month and get a free soda or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know the semantics of that. I obviously don't know the intricacies of movie theaters and how, you know, how people get paid to, you know, movie distribution works. I'm obviously not, you know, knowledgeable enough of how that works and the pricing behind all that jazz. But I really don't know how people make money is my big conclusion to this super long tangent.
Cool.
What do you think about it? Would you rather see a movie at home or in theaters? I think I know your answer, but say it anyways.
What do you think?
I think you're going to say something snarky about how you're lazy and you don't want to get dressed to go out, so you'll watch a movie at home.
No, that wasn't what I was going to say. I was going to say it depends. I haven't seen an actual movie in a movie theater in a while, unless you count Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I think should be seen only in a theater. Rocky Horror Picture
Show should definitely only be seen
only because if you see the movie on its own, it's not a good movie.
It's horrible. But if you see it in theater, it's all about the experience.
It's an experience, which I think movie theaters are in general. Uh-huh. But I also haven't gone to one in a while.
Yeah.
Also, but I went through like a phase for a while where I just didn't want to watch movies, right. Which I know you're like.
No, I get it. I can't stand watching television right now. And there are people who, you know, I know you just finished binging BoJack Horseman.
Great show.
Great show. But, you know, I know there are people who can sit down for hours and watch television, but I really can't make myself do that anymore.
Yeah, I get that.
But, you know, I try to watch a movie a day. And unfortunately, I can't always do that.
A movie a day?
I know, right?
That's
I unfortunately
insane.
Can't always do that. I would love to. I wish that was possible. But unfortunately, it is not.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm absolutely exhausted.
We're both super tired, so this is probably the worst podcast you're ever going to hear.
It's 10:05.
And I'll be back.
I got woken up at 3 a.m. by somebody dialing the wrong number.
You did?
I did.
Tell me more.
Somebody named Ricardo. This isn't a joke either. This isn't a bit. Somebody named Ricardo either has the same phone number as me or thinks he does.
Oh my God.
Because I have gotten calls from Wells Fargo, from Hilton Resorts, from like a hospital once, this morning from a very, very concerned sounding plumber named Joe. And I as much as it sounds like someone's pranking me, I really do think that this is real.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Joe called me at 3 a.m. this morning, sounding very concerned about Ricardo's plumbing, and it sounded very important, and I really hope Ricardo gets the message, because after I told Joe he had the wrong number, and I went back to bed, 2 hours later,
at
5 a.m.,
oh, no.
I got called again, and I don't think I picked up the phone, but it woke me up again. And Ricardo, if you're listening, which you're not, but if you're listening, please, please stop giving important people my phone number. A hospital called me once.
Oh my God.
And I don't know who they were looking for or who was in the hospital. I hope your family is well. It sounds like a threat, but it's not. But please stop giving my number out to people.
Oh my God.
Anyways, thank you so much for coming on, Haley. I had a very lovely time speaking with you.
No, you didn't.
I did. Hopefully you can come on at a time where we're not both absolutely exhausted.
Yeah, I'm also tired.
But that's going to be it for this week, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And tune back in next Sunday where me and Ryan Urist will be talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I'm hoping that will be a very, very good one.
I'll watch the movie too.
So that you can listen along.
Yeah. All right. Maybe it'll be on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Does he look like a bitch?